Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today, we want to simplify theology. And I'll tell you how we're going to do that in just a second. But before we dive in, just a quick reminder. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, hit that button, the follow button, so you don't miss any of the future episodes. And if you're on Apple, leaving a review really helps more people find the show. Or if you're on Spotify, a quick star review or star rating does the same thing. I was talking to my wife and she was saying, oh yeah, I don't really know about that review stuff. But really what we think it is it just helps. We're not even sure how the algorithms all make it work. But the more ratings and reviews that a show gets, the more people find it. It just pops up a little more frequently. And if you can help out, that would be a huge blessing to us and maybe a blessing to somebody else who needs to think about how theology applies to the stuff of life. All right, let's simplify theology a little bit. How are we going to do that? Theology is a little hard. We have to think. We have to do a little work. Well, let's turn it into pictures. Let's make this as easy as we can. You know, each state has kind of rival states, and sometimes they tell jokes that maybe aren't so kind about the other state. I grew up in Virginia, and of course, our rival state that we would make little jokes about was West Virginia. But I've lived in Georgia for 30 years, and they make jokes in Georgia about Alabama. A friend told me about a guy who moved down from the north, and he was telling him some Alabama jokes just to help him get oriented. And he says, you know, those state lines are actually invisible, letting my friend know that we in Georgia have some of the same characteristics as those good people in Alabama. But anyway, we like to make jokes. One of the jokes, one of my favorite jokes, a rival state joke, is that the library of the state capital of the rival state burned down. And it was a tragedy because both books were destroyed in the fire. And even more tragic is one of them hadn't been colored in yet. Anyway, we make jokes. We laugh, you know, obviously we're just teasing. But one thing that that joke captures is if you really want to simplify things, make it in pictures, make it in a coloring book. So the Bible actually uses pictures to convey theological truths. So over the next few weeks, what I want to do is try to capture some of the Bible pictures and then talk about how that applies. What do we do about that in light of the pictures? And we're going to start with ecclesiology, that is the doctrine of the church. You know, the Bible actually has a lot of major pictures when it talks about the church. So first picture, let's think about a shepherd and a flock of sheep. Just imagine that, and that'll be picture number one. Of course, Psalm 23, maybe the most famous psalm in the Bible, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, compares God to the shepherd king who cares for his people in a shepherding way. The Lord Jesus applies this metaphor to himself and his people in John chapter 10, verse 16. I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's us. We are the flock of God, and the Lord Jesus is our shepherd as the church. The Lord owns us, right? In 1 Peter 5:2, he says, shepherd the flock of God. We belong to God. We're God's sheep. Jesus in John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, what does the shepherd do to the sheep? He feeds the sheep. He leads the sheep. He guards the sheep. He searches for strays. He tends the sheep. And of course, the Lord does that. And he recruits under-shepherds, if you will, or pastors to delegate some of that responsibility. But ultimately, the Lord is our shepherd. It's his flock. It's very precious. In John 10, Jesus says in verses 4 and 5, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. That is the shepherd. He's guiding the flock. Later on, he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I know my own, and my own know me. Wow, he's going to say also that he lays down his life for the sheep in verse 15. Jesus is the ultimate shepherd of the flock. So what were some other key ideas? We are dependent on our shepherd. You know, we don't just randomly do church how we want to, and let's have a meeting and see if we can upgrade. Let's have church 2.0. What's the church for the new generation? Let's make it happen. We're the Lord's sheep. We are dependent on our shepherd to lead us and direct us and equip us and guide us. And we are to submit to our shepherd. Our job as his sheep is to go where he takes us. And as one of the old animated movies said, a sheep's job is to grow hair. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be. We're just part of the Lord's flock. And it is a privilege that we are so grateful for. Okay, another picture. Think of a bunch of people, that belong to one person. We are the people of God. This was a common description of Israel in the Old Testament. They had a special covenant relationship with God. Well, in the New Testament, we are members of the new covenant, Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus. We are saved by the work of Jesus, and we are the people of God. The church is distinct from and the fulfillment of Israel. And God takes a special pride in us. He cares for us. He protects us. He expects us to act like we belong to him. And we are his people. He is our God. And so there's a privilege and there's a responsibility that goes with that. All right, third picture. I'm thinking of that little guy in the old classic game Operation. Now, if you're too young to know what Operation is, maybe look it up. but it was this game you could play, kind of a metal board. They had different body parts in little holes on this body, and you had to reach your little tongs in there without touching the sides. If you touch the sides, it would buzz and the nose would turn red, and you would know that you blew it and it was the other person's time to do an operation. All right, classic. I'm not only feeling old, I'm describing it, I'm going, wow, we played that thing. Anyway, but think of a body, right? That is a classic illustration of the church. Christ is the head. He's sovereign over us. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. He is the source of our life. We are baptized into his body at salvation. I was just looking at this verse just this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 12 just goes off on that illustration, doesn't it? Paul just really milks that thing. Nobody has all the gifts. We're all interdependent on each other for the success of the Christian life. If one body parts down, the others rally around. If one is hurt, if one is dishonored, right? We've got to come alongside. We need each other, right? I told this guy one time he was kind of getting flaky on church attendance. And I challenged him. Not only are you missing out, but we are missing out on you not being present because we are all part of the body. If one of my feet doesn't show up, my whole body is affected, right? That happens sometimes when your foot goes to sleep. You get out of bed and it's like, whoa, I am way off balance here. One of my feet didn't show up this morning. We have to love each other. We have to care for each other. We have to encourage each other. We have to rebuke each other, comfort each other, cooperate with each other. It is a great honor to be part of the very body of Christ. So, three pictures down, three more to go after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotz in just a moment. But that library joke you made about Alabama where books were destroyed and one not even colored in yet, look, what he's trying to do is make theology accessible through pictures. Meanwhile, most believers can't even explain what they believe without Christianese, which means absolutely nothing to outsiders. Here's what I think is actually happening in American Christianity right now. We don't have an in-between. And what I mean by that is we have seminary-level resources on one side, and then we have coloring books for kids on the other, but we don't have anything in between. The average believer, the one trying to understand how theology actually applies to their everyday life, well, they get stuck Googling questions and hoping to land somewhere orthodox, but they don't even know where they land is actually orthodox or not. I think Fortis Plus helps to bridge that gap. And I know that sounds self-serving a little bit, and maybe it is, but Fortis Plus isn't dumbed down. It's actually accessible. It's not academic. It's full of hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content right now available for you to listen to free of charge, and it's content that's not static, which means it doesn't just sit there. It's being added to every single day. You can download it right now from the place where you download your apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. And another thing I want to mention from what Dr. Crotz was talking about, that metaphor that he gave about the body of Christ, where each part is needed, that speaks a word to what we're doing here at Fortis Institute and why we need people just like you to join us as gospel partners. Because see, most churches, as you know, operate more like a performance with an audience than a body with members, meaning that you've got 20% of the people doing the majority of the work while 80% watch. And then we wonder why the body seems so crippled. To a degree, that's what happens with ministries like ours. And that's why we need people just like you to join us, to link arms with us, to help us continue to create more content like we've been creating, to give freely, to reach more people in more places all over the world. And that's why we do it for free. We need gospel partners like you who have been impacted by the content that Fortis Plus is producing. And you want to make sure that others are impacted as well. So if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, and you can join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be grateful. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and see what it would look like in your life to join us. Now let's get back to Dr. John Crotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotz.
Welcome back. Weird. Talking about theology made easy by giving the pictures that the Bible gives us about the different areas of theology. And we are looking at the doctrine of the church, and it's been pretty easy to come up with Bible pictures for the church. We're not just imagining a church building, you know, here's the walls and here's the steeple, right? Or here's the doors and here's the steeple. How does that go? Anyway, we're not doing that. We are looking at Bible pictures about the church. Let's look at a couple more. Now I want you to imagine a building, right? So this is a building. You can imagine a classic Western church building if you want, but obviously the church has lots of different meeting spaces all around the world. And the church is not the building. The church is the people, but the people are described as a building. In the Old Testament, Israel had a literal building, tabernacle, temple. You'd go there. In the New Testament, we are called God's building. We are called God's temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, do you not know that you are God's temple and the Holy Spirit, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Earlier, he calls us spiritual stones that are all built up together into the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in us as the New Testament temple of God. So we should be amazed and see that Christ is the center. The Holy Spirit indwells us just like he indwelt the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament. It should humble us. It shows us our interdependence, the centrality of Christ, and it gives our lives a special significance, being part of God's building. Here's another picture. Imagine a beautiful bride, right? You knew this was coming. We are called the bride of Christ. In the Old Testament, Israel was called God's bride in Isaiah 54 and 62. In the New Testament, that's us, the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And of course, in Revelation 19, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the bride joining the groom in glory. That is going to be great. So, all right, when we think of the church as the bride, so what? What does that do to us? Well, it shows us that God's relationship with his people is eternal, undeserved love. It reminds us of how precious the church is to the Lord Jesus. I don't think that we appreciate that as much as we ought to. We aren't just take it or leave it to Jesus. We are his bride. And, you know, for guys, we're obviously the husband part in that Ephesians 5 analogy. And yet, as part of the church, we are the bride part, which feels a little awkward, you know, even though it's just a metaphor. But let's just pause and take this very seriously. The church is precious to Jesus. And Ephesians 5 really emphasizes purity. So that's another good application for us. We should be striving for purity as well. Just as husbands and, well, it says Christ is sanctifying her, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's kind of amazing when you're the pastor of a church. One of the great privileges we have is officiating at weddings. And it's a very special situation, because as the pastor, you are in the middle of every part of the service. And you pretty much say almost all the words of the service. Obviously, others participate in various things, but I've been part of some weddings where pretty much I was the only one talking, other than the repeat after me vows, right? Where the bride and the groom say that. So you're in the middle of everything. You get to see it all. You know, people look at the groom and see him tearing up as the bride comes in. Well, I'm as the pastor, I'm right in the middle of that thing. I'm watching the beautiful bride come down, all dressed up, very fancy, and it's just a beautiful thing. But it is kind of interesting because even though you're in the middle of everything as the pastor and you say almost everything at a wedding, nobody cares about you at all, right? All eyes on the bride. Well, we want to see the church as the bride of Christ. It's precious to the Lord, and He cares very much about the purity of the church. So one good application as we talk about doing God's word on Integrated, we want to pursue purity individually and as a church family. Let's not get sloppy and allow sin in the camp. That's why church discipline is there, right? There's a lot of reasons why we pursue people in our church who are in unrepentant sin, right? We're not trying to embarrass them. We're not trying to make them feel bad. We're trying to rescue them, right? If they're in unrepentant sin, we're not just talking about people in the church that do things differently than you would like to. We're talking about violating scripture, right? If somebody's violating scripture, you go after them. You talk to them. You call them back. You show them from God's word, right? Speaking the truth in love, we're to humbly try to rescue them. And if they don't repent, you bring others along with you and you go after them some more. And of course, if they still refuse to repent, you tell it to the church and the church goes after them. There are lots of reasons why we should pursue church discipline. The glory of God, obedience to Jesus in Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5, the purity of the church, because it says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin spreads, right? But I always like to have the accent on spiritual rescue. We're trying to rescue people. But let's just go back to that. The bride is to be pure. And so the purity of the church means we ought to pursue each other if we get into sin and confess our sins to each other and help each other, right? That's part of what biblical counseling is helping each other when we have problems. I'm not saying all problems are sins, right? There's sin, there's suffering, circumstances, all these things we need biblical counsel for. You sometimes, if you haven't checked out Dr. Greg Gifford and his Transformed podcast, boy, that's a lot of fun, as Dr. Gifford will take an area that people face, problems, common problems, and show you from God's word how we can solve those things. Well, all of us have a part to play in, maybe all of us have a part to play, so all of us should listen to Dr. Gifford, right? And we should learn and become more equipped in how to better ask questions and lead people into the truth so that Jesus's bride is more pure than ever before. What a wonderful picture. Let me take us to a final picture of the church in the New Testament. And now just imagine a picture of a family. And we are called the family of God. We are brought into the family of God by adoption. That's Romans 8, 14 through 17. We are adopted. We are in Christ Jesus. Now the Spirit within us, it says in Romans 8, as well as Galatians 4, cries out, Abba, Father. God is our Father. That means our fellow church members are our brothers and sisters in God's family. It is incredible that we can have such close relationships. I think it's a precious thing. Somebody has pointed out rightly that you have closer ties to your brothers and sisters in your church family, your believing brothers and sisters, than your unsaved family members. Even though you are flesh and blood, we have spiritual family within the body of Christ, and many of us know that reality. In 1 Timothy 3:15 and Ephesians 2:19, the church is called the household of God. God is our Father. He leads us. He provides for us. He disciplines us. And in the family, we don't just bail out if we have problems. We work hard to work it out. We aren't quick to try to swap families because we're family. We're in this thing together. God's church is so special. It is a wonderful privilege to be part of God's church. hey, sometimes Jimmy will tell us that if you aren't giving to your church, do that first. And then if you have some extra, you know, be a blessing to Fortis to get the word out. But you know, even before you give financially, you can also be a blessing to Fortis if you'll do what we said earlier about rating and reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Amazon. That is such a great thing to do. And if this episode has been a blessing to you, would you please pass it on to somebody else at your church so they can pull out their picture books as well to see more of what God says about the church of God and how we should respond and to put this truth into action in our lives.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.